AM Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, we always like to start the program with a little bit of funny news from the week. Something that stood out to me, at least. I've got to share this with you. There's this guy. There's this guy who licks trains. That's the short version of it. He's described as a daredevil stuntman. And I guess what he did here is he posted a few videos of himself licking trains on YouTube. You can look him up. He's called The Licking Guy, or that's his handle. He's got his own YouTube channel. And no, there really isn't more to it than that. His identity is hidden. He's masked. He wears a ski mask and some dark glasses. And what he does is he runs up to a train. Robbie and I, we watched one of these videos here doing some show prep. Laughed pretty hard. The music's really dramatic, right? So he's got this dramatic music. And then if you watch it, you see this guy running up to the train. And it's a moving freight train, right? And you think he's going to jump on it. Instead, he kind of bends over and begins licking the train as the train is passing by. Now, having just watched this documentary about hobos that ride trains, and some the guy that's the serial murderer that just got apprehended somewhere in Oklahoma, and he was part of this train riding gang, and they catch up to him, and he's murdered a bunch of people on freight trains and dumped their bodies in random places all over the country. So basically, this licking guy here is licking the crime scene clean. But the best part is, see, I thought this guy was just into licking trains. But if you look, yes, where do I have this? Somewhere here in my stack. Aha! Here's a breakdown. And I have thumbnail images here. Wish you could see this. So here are some of the titles of his videos. Licking a B-52 bomber. No, I think that's a good question. Is it moving? No, but it does have a parentheses, beat down and choked. Then there's licking the Big Top World Circus. Also, licking a helicopter on a military base. There are some that are slightly less exotic, but perhaps more disturbing, such as licking a raw turkey. And this is touted as being the Thanksgiving special. This man also licks a maximum security prison, a giant T-Rex dinosaur, and a million volt power line. That's a good. No, he has not licked the Trump train, but he may have licked Marco Rubio, because that. Big week. Rubio out. Now, Rubio gave what I think was a pretty strong speech Tuesday night, and it was. It was, you know, it always is the candidate when he's leaving the race, he gives his best speech. And then everyone's asking me for an opinion on Kasich. And it's right. No chance. Yeah. But really what it's the interesting thing about Kasich is the speech that he gave. Now, have you seen the speech? If you didn't have an opportunity to see the speech, find it on YouTube and watch it, because it'd be interesting for me to see what you think, what your take would be on this, on the spectacle. Not to give it away for those that haven't seen it, but Kasich gets up there and he throws himself a confetti shower, right? So the first thing he does is he walks up on stage and you would think the man was accepting the nomination. Or better yet, that he's actually winning the general election. There's confetti explodes. Missy, did you have a chance to see this? So, I mean, your temperature on this. It was weird, right? I mean, it's very weird. Here's a candidate who has won one contest in a primary season that has been going on since the beginning of February, and we are now in the middle of March. So, and it was all about him, too. You know, it's very, yeah, Kasich, you know, it's all about how great Ohio is and how many great things he's done in Ohio and how, you know, and if I, and I have the same criticism of Rubio. I don't want to hear, I'm sick and tired. If I have to hear Kasich explain one more time to me how he's the son of a postal worker, at least Rubio's dad was a bartender. I can celebrate that profession. Right, my bartender's an important person in my life. And I'm sorry to say my postal worker's the guy who brings my mail late every day, without fail, 4:30 in the afternoon. Try delivering to a 55-person company their mail at 4:30 in the afternoon. That's no bueno, folks. So anyway, yeah, his dad's a postal worker. What other, Robbie, you remember better. All the things... Yeah, coal miner. There's always some coal miner cameo in his speech. And it's a lot of me, 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 I. It's very Obama-ish, right? Right. No, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know if there's a teleprompter involved. You can't blame the teleprompter, though. Teleprompters just follow instructions. They do what they're told. So Kasich gets up there and gives this incredible victory speech. And I think unless you're the most diehard of Kasich supporters, you've got to see that or you've got to think that it's a little bit delusional. Delegate math. We'll start with Kasich. And this is, you know, it's been a busy week. And I know you've heard all this stuff about who's ahead. Who has the path to the nomination? And if you just go on any news site that aggregates news stories, Trump path to the nomination certain. Cruz has a possible chance to the nomination. What happens if Cruz and Trump do not? I mean, there is an opinion on any possible scenario here. And it's actually, I think, quite confusing to cut through all of it. So I'm going to try to cut through some of it today. We're going to kind of boil down this week together and see where this takes us. Bear with me. Let me start this explanation with if this is supposed to be a science, we need to get more common core science, I guess, or less, depending on your opinion. Because by way of example, how funky all these numbers are. Robbie and I were laughing earlier today about how the New York Times can't even agree on where the delegate count falls. Because, say, as of Thursday, it looks like the New York Times was off. They have a delegate tracker, which is this, which is just their tally of all the delegates, and then they've got this delegate calculator, where you can slide around the support, moving forward, looking at how these candidates are going to perform and seeing who has, you know, the greatest chance at clinching the magic number. So Trump, 673 or 694, depending on which New York Times source you trust. Cruz, 410, 407. Kasich, 145 and 143, respectively. Now, the big picture is this, okay? To get to the nomination, let's say we've worked here with these numbers and we've looked. I don't want to get you guys lost in all this math. I'm just going to boil this down to a few important basic takeaways. There are 946 delegates remaining, and that seems to be, I mean, it's up and down depending on who you go to, but that's the number that we here at Sam Nation have taken some time to boil down for you, okay? 946 delegates remaining in this race. Trump is where is he? 673, right? Depending on the source. Which means he needs 564. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here to Kasich. Kasich is at Confetti Kasich is at 143 delegates, which means to clinch the Republican nomination, basic math, 1,094 delegates, which, if you like percentages, I'll give it to you in percentages, too. You know, when you read those articles out there, you've heard it. No path to the nomination, but maybe. No. Kasich, this is crazy. He would need 115%. If you round up, 116% of the remaining delegates in the remaining races. He is the dumb kid in class, you know, who needs extra credit to even pass the course. That's Kasich. So you got to understand mathematically. I will talk about this after the break because I think that he has a chance. I think he has a chance. And I'll explain to you after the break what he's banking on. But I'm telling you mathematically, Kasich is done. And I'll explain to you why he's staying in the race. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Done. Kasich's done. Or is he? Right? So, okay. So I'll try to explain to you. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Here's the deal. Kasich needs 116% of the remaining delegates to clinch the nomination outright, which means mathematically that ain't happening. But what he is hoping for, and this is why Glenn Beck, what did Glenn Beck call him this week? Robbie, did you hear that? Glenn Beck called him something I don't think I can even repeat on the radio. Yeah, Glenn Beck is, well, he's a big Cruz supporter. I think he's openly pro-Cruz, has endorsed him. And Glenn Beck, and I am sure a lot of Cruz supporters are just furious right now. They're just absolutely furious because what? Because Kasich is staying in. And they're saying it's vainglorious, it's just for his own ego, it's all this nonsense. But I'm telling you, there are backroom discussions. I promise you this. There are backroom discussions among the power brokers of the Republican Party that are encouraging Kasich to stay in the race. And they are promising him support in the convention if things should go to a second ballot, which, of course, would happen if any one of the candidates that is in the race right now doesn't get to the convention with the magic number of delegates, 1237. Okay, so, all right. So, I know I left you guys hanging a little bit with this delegate math. I promise I'm going to get back to it and explain why it's confusing and all that, but stay with me here on this Kasich thing. Because the establishment right now, with the loss of the USS Rubio, the sinking of Little Marco, they are in full panic mode. Imagine this. Your daughter is dating she's seeing three people. One of them is there, and she's not really that interested in this fourth guy, right? There's like this fourth dude, but your daughter really doesn't like him that much. Now imagine this. One of the guys she really likes, but he's a bad boy. He's just a bad boy. He's a loudmouth, vulgar bad boy. The other guy doesn't respect you at all. Like, he just blows you off, right? He's, you know, He gives you zero respect. The third guy, he's a really nice guy. He's a nice guy, and the daughter kind of likes him. And the fourth guy, he's a nice guy too, but doesn't pay any attention to him. That's this race, and if as the father, you know, that's the Republican establishment. They don't want, you don't want your daughter with the first two guys. And as far as, I mean, I've said this before, but I'm telling you now again, they don't want Cruz no more than they want Trump and vice versa. There might be a preference, you know, there might be a, it's a game of worst case scenario. That's producer Robbie's favorite game. It's a game of worst case scenario for them. So Marco was their best runner up. He was their best. He was their great hope. And he got licked and bowed out. And now Kasich, now I'm telling you, now what do we do? Kasich is the guy. The Republican establishment has Kasich as their last great hope and are going to do everything they can to prop him up. And if you think that this is all just fair and square, all about palms up, let the voters decide, think again. There is something I'm going to tell you about this election, and that is that is it just because the smart money, conventional wisdom, whatever you want to call it, is behind some idea, that doesn't mean that it's going to come true. In fact, this is the time to think exactly opposite everything that you're being told. I mean, isn't that how it was with Trump? Weren't they telling you 4 months ago that no way, no how, this is a bubble that's going to burst like the housing market? I mean, that's what we were all told, right? So here we are. Trump's in the lead, and substantially so after Tuesday. And Cruz, I mean, rough math, folks. Trump needs to win about 60%, a little under 60% of the remaining delegates to clinch the nomination outright before the convention. Cruz needs to reach 87, just a little bit over 87% of the remaining delegates. This is Sam Nation math. Producer Robbie and I crunched these numbers ourselves, and these are based off of taking all these sources. Remember I was saying how, I'll tell you again. MSNBC, Trump 683. CNN, Trump 678. New York Times delegate calculator, 694. Cruz, it's even more over the map. 411, 407, 418, 422. I mean, if you think that this is a precise science, it's not. And the reason for it is the way the Republican Party hands out awards delegates is based on congressional district. And, you know, it's based on who wins which, you know, congressional district. The way that the math is funky. OK, the math is odd. And then there are these extra bonus delegates. For example, Robbie, did you know they award delegates to, they give bonus delegates if the state has a Republican governor or if the state has a Republican senator? You get party loyalty bonus delegates, whatever the heck that is. Yeah, it's like Diners Club. You know, you get two for one night when you go to the preferred restaurant using the preferred card. This is what it is. OK, so, folks, the math is not, it's not exactly right. It's not exactly precise, but the range for Trump here, when you look at all the sources that we have here that we've used, 673 to 694 for Trump, Cruz 407 to 419, Kasich is 143 to 145. The distance between these numbers is not that big. Which means it comes down to simple math. You know what the delegate target is for the convention, and you know that Trump 60% of the vote, Cruz, 87% of the vote. So it is, I'm telling you right now, don't listen to anyone else on this. I promise you, it is next to impossible for Cruz to get 87% of the remaining vote. That is just next to impossible. There are only a handful of winner-take-all primaries coming up. Pure winner-take-all primaries. There are some hybrids, but they still require one candidate to win a majority of the districts, of the congressional districts, and that's tough to do. And going back in the race, granted there were more candidates, that wasn't happening for anybody. These hybrid states still weren't winner take all. There was some proportional distribution of those delegates. And the reason I say that is where one candidate really could take off right now is if there were a whole bunch of pure winner take all states. So, big states coming up, of course. California has 172 delegates, New York 95, and those are two states that Trump seems to be ahead in currently. All right, but a lot can change. So this is stuff to be aware of. 87% of remaining delegates, that is a really big number. That is a really big number. And it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as winning 87% of the vote. You've got to win 87% of the delegates, which means the math somehow has to come together for you. And give you an example, if you win three states, but they're not winner-take-all states, yes, you just won 100% of those three states. But if the runner-up is Trump, or if things get crazy, Kasich, now what are you talking? You know, one guy gets 22, and the runner-up, you see this. You see 22 delegates awarded to the winner, 19 to the runner-up. Well, if the state's giving 22 delegates, 19, the next state comes along, the hypothetical three I'm talking about, the next state awards 20 and the runner-up 16 and the other state 30 and the runner-up 15, there's no way that Cruz, even though he won 100% of those states, is walking away with more than, what would you say, Robbie, about 60% of those delegates. And that is something you've got to realize. So Cruz, in my opinion, you've heard it here first, okay? It's not going to happen. Don't let anyone at any party convince you otherwise, okay? You don't let somebody tell you, Cruz can make it. It's a pipe dream. The real question here is Trump going to get to the nomination with the 1237, or is he not? Is he going to get there, or is he not? That's what this boils down to. And the reality is that he may not. He may not. And if he doesn't, this is what the Republican establishment, this is where the Republican establishment is getting very excited about all their shenanigans that they could pull. And believe me, they'll want to pull it. Because there are so many people that have been left out in the cold simply by virtue of Trump being this maverick candidate. He hasn't relied on any of the pollsters, you know, the gurus, the political consultants, who do you think lives in Washington? The 99% of the people in Washington either work for the government or work for ancillaries that support the political machine, the political machinery. And look no further. So, this, I'm going to tell you, Kasich has a plan, and I will bet dollars to donuts that this plan has been discussed openly between his people and the RNC. I will put money on it. So I'm going to tell you what that is. Just please stay tuned. Back after this short break, Sam Rogowski on KABC Talk Radio 790. Driving, that's what you're doing. You're in the car. You've got Sam Nation on blast. It's a beautiful Saturday. You come up to a red light, and all of a sudden, a guy in a ski mask wearing dark glasses runs up to your vehicle and begins licking it obscenely. And what do? You panic. You panic. Because the last thing you want is some dude licking your car. And it doesn't matter if he has a YouTube channel or not. What do? You speed off. And in the process, your car careens. You lose control, careens off the road. There you are. You've been hurt. You've been injured. And what do? You call Sweet James Bergener. That's right, Sweet James. He is the real deal. There are lots of imposters out there, masked or otherwise, that purport to be great personal injury attorneys. But there is one original guy. There is one guy out there who really does care about you and will take care of you no matter what kind of predicament you're in. So if you've been rear-ended, heck, if you've had a dog bite you, if you've had fallen down somewhere, you've been hurt, talk to Sweet James. Give him a call, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Well, okay, so what's everyone's asking, and I'm getting emails about this, and people are calling me and say, Sam, what's Kasich's play here? What's going on? And yeah, Kasich's the inside favorite. He may need 115% of the remaining delegates to win, so he's not going to do it through the front door. But the reason he is in it, is not just for his own self-delusion, self-aggrandizement, ego. He is getting assurances to play it cool, to stay on the straight and narrow, to be the establishment guy. And we will look out for you, says the RNC. The best evidence I have of this, we don't have any actual evidence. I just have some circumstantial evidence. Robbie's worried. No, it's not in the stack of stuff. It's not. It's in my brain. Do you remember when Kasich, 2 days, well, maybe even less, 24 hours before the Ohio vote, the Ohio primary, Kasich gets up and he says, illegal immigrant, you know what? These undocumented immigrants, it was just vapid. I mean, he said something about them being God's greatest gift. God's gift to this country are these illegal immigrants. So he went full Monty for amnesty on the eve of a primary because I'm telling you, this is it. This is, you want to have the edge when you're at the water cooler next week. Let me tell you, it comes down to this. He knew he was going to win Ohio. Smart money was on him winning Ohio. He was up 6-7% in the polls in Ohio. So he's up in Ohio. Now we're all up in Hawaii. Oh, I can't say it. This is bad radio. Okay, so at any rate, he's doing great in his home state. He's there ready to kill it. And and he gets a knock. And it wasn't just opportunity. It was somebody from the establishment, and they said, listen, you've got to go full moderate. You've got to go get back to... Don't try to be Trump. Don't try to be Cruz. Get out there and be the alternative to these crazy right wing guys. Okay, these mavericks. And there was a very important reason why he went full amnesty in an election cycle, in a primary election cycle that does anything but celebrate it. I mean, do you think that Trump would have the following that he has if he held rallies and said, I love immigrants, especially if they're illegal. And by the way, I think they're all God's greatest gift to us. I mean, I don't think that would draw 10, 20, 30,000 people. So this has been an election that whatever you think of Trump is completely driven by the anti-illegal immigration issue. It's one of the dynamos driving the power and momentum of this primary. And so Kasich gets up there on the eve of, you know, potentially, certainly his most important race, the race that he's pinning his whole future on. And he says that. And it's not by accident. He says it not because he wants to shoot himself in the foot. This is not right. Well, it's true. Trump could shoot somebody in the street and still, you know, still not lose any support. But here in this particular case, Kasich realized he could shoot himself in the foot and still spring forward out of this election. And this is why. He had to distinguish himself from Cruz and Trump, but most importantly, he's already playing for the convention. He's already playing to the establishment tune. He's already putting this out there, knowing that Rubio's going to be out because Rubio was 30 points behind. And overtures were made to Kasich. Okay? Kasich gets up there, does this thing, okay? And now he's done what he was supposed to do, and they're looking out for him. Now, how do they do this? Well, there is this thing. Who remembers among you from 2012? Mitt Romney steamrolling toward the convention. I think it was held in August. Tampa. And you remember the primary fight got ugly at one point with Ron Paul. So Ron Paul, principled guy, didn't get a lot of traction, but he held on to his delegates. And Ron Paul's plan was to go to the convention and to storm the fortress. Ron Paul was going to go up. Yeah, he was going to be all up in Ohio. No, he was going to go all up down there, Tampa, and he was going to make some noise. And Rance Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, made a deal with him where he said, look, you can get a primetime speaking slot, but you've got to do two things. One, you got to support, your delegates have got to support our nominee, got to support Mitty. And two, you've got to give your endorsement in your speech of Mitt Romney. Well, that did not happen. And say what you will, that is one candidate, right? That is one candidate that is not, Ron Paul's not going to go for it, right? So what does he say to them? The equivalent of raising a middle finger, no way, no how. And what did they do? They stripped him of any speaking slots. He didn't speak, but they also did something to neuter his delegates. And what they did is they took Rule 20. I'll explain all this to you folks. It's not so arcane. They took a little rule and turned Rule 20 into Rule 20B. And all it meant was that if you didn't win 8 or more of the primary contests, no matter how many delegates you had, you're donezo. Like they don't even get to vote on you at all. Zip, forget it. All right. Now, there's a lot of talk about how this rule change now favored Romney back then. The establishment wrote the rule to help themselves. They wanted Mitty in, got Mitty, and they wanted to kind of put a lid on Crazy Uncle Ron. Now, Trump is going to the convention, and what do they want? They want Kasich. They want Kasich they're hoping that no one gets a majority of the votes in round one. Because there's a first round of votes. And if somebody comes out the winner, which would be the person who has the magic number of delegates. So all the delegates, you know, that's why most conventions are boring, because by the time you get to the convention, the winner of the primaries has enough delegates so that they just have one vote. I, and it's done. Okay. Now, here's the rub. Now Trump's going, let's say, without the required number. So there's going to be a round one of voting. Missy, have I lost you? You're following all this? They've got one round of voting. And what? And so according to this new rule that they modified to squeeze out Ron Paul, who has been pushed out of the way? Kasich. I mean, he's not going to win. Is he going to win eight primaries, like win outright eight primaries between now and July? It's well, that now. See, now that's the question, isn't it? That's the question. Why don't they just change it again? And that is exactly what they're going to do. That is exactly what they're going to do. And why? Because they did it once. Folks, it's the same. It's the same. Look, it's the same people. It's the same people. It's the same chairman, the rule committee. It's the usual suspects. So here's what you've got to know. They're just going to do it again. And they may change other rules. And they're telling Kasich, stay in this race. Don't be our establishment candidate. Kasich right now is not running to win votes from the public. Kasich is not running to win elections. He is not running on the issues that really matter to the primary voting Republicans. He is running on establishment issues so that he has their backroom support when it comes time to the convention. And that's the bald naked truth. So when we get back, let's talk about what I think is going to happen. How this is all going to turn out. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. We choose the nominee, not the voters, said one senior GOP official to CNBC. Exactly my point. You're listening to Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And, okay, so simply put, we were talking about Ron Paul. We're talking about the election 2012. Paul didn't have enough voters to get to the convention, but he was going to go to the convention and make some noise. His loyalists were angry. They certainly were not people happy with Mitt Romney being the candidate. And they were going to get loud, at the very least. And by way of background, I explained that Ron Paul wasn't playing ball with the Republican Party and wasn't, you know, he was just not playing nice. And so he still, though, showed up to the convention, had a fair number of delegates. And what did the GOP do? They changed one of the rules that cut any contender, any candidate who had not won eight or more primaries outright from being able to vote in the first round, which effectively, if you read the rule, this is interesting. If you read the rule, and again, I'm going to give you a lawyer's take on this. I read the rule before the change and after the change. And Robbie, I don't see anything in the rule that then says that those delegates are allowed to vote in the second round. It just reads to me that they're cut from after the first round. They can't vote and they're done. They're just seat warmers. Effectively banning anyone who shows up at the convention from what? From being able to be chosen or selected in any subsequent ballot. This also presents a little bit of a fly in the ointment to rumblings this week about, did you hear about this? Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House. Well, I would be flattered if they considered me for president, and of course I would take, never mind, I wouldn't. Did you hear that? Well, he said he wasn't running for speaker either. So I, take it. Yeah. Boehner, right? Like we care a rat's rear end about what he has to say. endorsed Paul Ryan and said, I don't support any of those guys up there. I think it's, but Paul Ryan, he's my guy. This is such a goofball bunch of amateurs. It's unbelievable. But if you read it, again, you tell me. If it says that a candidate won't be considered if they haven't won 8 or more primaries, how the heck do you get Ryan to show up who hasn't won any primaries? Eh? The whole thing here is that they took a rule that was that allowed, originally that rule allowed those delegates to vote in the first round to support their candidate, which incidentally, a humorous aside, Carly Fiorina, remember her? She has one delegate. Who else has one delegate? Robbie, we were looking at this math. There, a couple others have one delegate, two delegates. Huckabee has one delegate. So the way the rule used to be is that one delegate could have gone to the convention and said, Fiorina, Carly, and probably not gotten very far. So they changed it once. Can they change it again? Yes, of course. What are we? Are we Charlie Brown? Lucy's going to move the football. Of course she is. Right? are we? And I just love the media. But Sam, you're on the radio. Yeah, everyone except for me. It's just, I hear all these stupid things being said. There'd be riots in the street. And by the way, Trump's saying some stupid stuff lately, but this is not fair. The riot thing isn't fair. He never said, I'm going to send my people out to the streets. And they just said there's going to be riots. I think he's right. It doesn't mean people are going to be overturning cars and burning down buildings. But I think people are going to be pretty dang pissed if the Republican establishment does change these rules once again to help themselves. And if they steal the nomination away from two candidates who collectively have already, right, Trump and Cruz collectively have more than half of the support that they need in order to take the convention. It begs the answer. Would they ever consider joining forces? It's an interesting thought. I know you have an opinion. I know they went after each other hard. They went after each other really hard. But there's going to be a shift here. There's going to be an us versus them phase here. And because Kasich didn't drop out, because Kasich is still in the race, he represents this boogeyman of the establishment. That, as I explained earlier, that establishment doesn't want either Trump or Cruz. These are two bad boys the establishment wants nothing to do with. And so, conceivably, Trump and Cruz, have we heard any Trump versus Cruz fireworks this week? I haven't really. After Super Tuesday, all quiet on the Western Front. Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it, but Supreme Court nominee. Interesting thing. A little bit of an update for you. What is his name? Merrick? Merrick, what's his last name? Robbie? Merrick Garland. So he's... conventional wisdom, again, is that the Republicans, no way, no how. Mitch McConnell, the long horse face of the Republican establishment. Really inspiring dude. And he's, this door is shut. I heard one of the stupidest things. Let me tell you something. I listen to talk radio myself. And I'm listening to another station, Morning Talk. And I hear someone say, this is political. This is this nomination, this Supreme Court nomination. It's a political thing. It used to be. It used to be once upon a time only a little bit political. But now with these Republicans, oh my gosh, this is all politics now. It's absurd. It's all politics. Yeah. Wow, Judge Bork. How about that? Didn't that turn into a verb to get borked? You got borked over, pal. Bork you. Yeah, and then, oh, I mean, that whole Clarence Thomas thing, I mean, that wasn't political at all. Oh, my, oh, no. Oh, no. That was super credible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. FDR stacking the court. You don't want to go along with me? I'm going to add justices until I have enough justices on the court, and then I'll go my way. Okay, now you're listening. Now I've got your attention. Come on. This is very political. Anytime you have one branch of government propose anything and it have to get approved with the advice and consent of another branch of the government, it's going to be political. Especially when, I don't need to tell you, one of those branches is Democrat and the other one's Republican. And it's an election year. And it's a powder keg election year. What do you think, Robbie, about him being, what is he, 61, 62? It's a funny thing, right? Merrick's an old dude. Now, if Obama was really serious, I've heard this said, not my original thought, but I'll tell you, if Obama is really serious about putting a nominee that's going to shape the court, I think he would have picked a guy who's in his mid-40s. But what does he do? He puts a guy who's got one foot into retirement at this point. I know federal judges serve until they die. And in many cases, these guys take it very literally. Yeah, we have one. I think there was one in Orange County that served into his 90s. I mean, he was basically on oxygen. Federal judge. It's a great gig. So anyway, it's kind of like being postmaster or postman in Ohio. My father was a federal judge. No, I don't know. So this is nuts. And I think it all comes down right now. The establishment needs this fight. They want to be in this position. And they've probably winked. There was a news story on Thursday. Rumblings off the record source claiming, gasp, that Mitch McConnell has promised Obama that they will move on this nomination after the election. Imagine. It's all theatrics right now. Everything, I'll give it to that one guy. Right now, it is 100% political. Yeah, it is. But I just think it was always 100% political. This is all politics, and it all comes down to this election. And this is one way that the GOP establishment is just trying something they're trying anything they can to gain traction with an electorate that they have been out of touch with for years. For years. All right, that's it for today. But as always, we've got an extra bonus segment on our podcast, which will be available shortly. And so if you didn't get enough, got a few extra minutes for you on our podcast. And please email me, sam@samnation.com. Follow me on Twitter, please, @SamNationShow. And on Instagram, @SamNation. That's it, folks. See you here next week. Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Yeah, so imagine you're from Ohio. Well, yeah, Kasich, right? Kasich's home state, the Shangri-La, the promised land, confetti in the air. Right, the way he was talking about Ohio, you wonder why there's 3.5 people that live there. Okay, so anyway, apparently somebody was drunk going through a Panda Express drive-thru. It's probably the only reason they were at Panda Express was because they were drunk. At any rate, what happened? They get pulled over. Well, there's an accident. They get pulled over, and the officer arriving at the scene decides to administer a field sobriety test. And part of this test involves reciting the alphabet, which the man refused to do, saying he was unfamiliar with it. What could be? He could be. He's a low information voter. This is probably a Kasich supporter. No, I'm kidding. Bernie Sanders. You know, have you seen those videos where they have the dude? I saw this one where this guy is completely drunk. I mean, there is no question he's drunk. He can't walk in a straight line. He's slurring all his words. This is a great dash cam video. That was maybe one of the best. The officer says to him, "All right, now, sir, I need you to recite the alphabet backwards." And the guy recites the alphabet backwards perfectly. What do you think of that? Could you do that? Well, I'll tell you, I can't guarantee that. There's no way. There's no way I could do. Well, Robbie in there is wisely stroking his beard. I assume that is international hipster sign language that he could do that, no problem. Okay. So, have you seen this week? One of the big things, and I'm so glad you guys are with us right now because we didn't get to this in the main show. But this video, Putin is outraged. The Kremlin is outraged. Trump put out a campaign video, and immediately there is a reaction from Russia. What do they say? Stop. This video demonizes Mother Russia. Who has not seen this video? Probably one of the funniest things. He put it up. Trump puts this up on his Instagram account. And what does it do? The video says, America has some very serious enemies, and it has Putin in a judo suit putting his opponent down on the mat, ka-thump, and then ominous music is playing, right? And the next video, the next image that comes up on the screen is some jihadist, some ISIS fanatic pointing his gun at the camera. You know, he's all, well, no, could he be the train licker? Possibly. We don't know. But this, you know, this guy in a black ski mask pointing a gun at the camera with some Arabic writing underneath. So the America has serious enemies. And then the screen goes black with some white writing and it says, "What is the Democrats' answer to this?" Do we have that soundbite? Do we? And that's what it plays next. And in case you're wondering who the... Can we give a... We got to get... Guess who? Nope. Yeah. I'm telling you. I'd call Sweet James. Man, if that thing bit me, I'd call Sweet James in a jiffy. It's Hillary Clinton. You know, I had to verify that this was for real. She really did bark at a campaign event. Yeah, I heard. We always knew she was all bark. But apparently, yes, she's at a campaign event. And she's, you know, her. I feel bad for her because all of her campaign managers are telling her, you've got to humanize. You've got to be more human. More you. And instead, I mean, I think she went full fuzzies, didn't she? This is furries. She went full. I mean, what was it? What was the convention? Vancufur. I mean, yes, these are grown adults who do dress up as giant anthropomorphic animals. Some of them talk, some of them don't. And you know, they had a little, we talked about it last week. They were on a collision course with all the Syrian refugees that were showing up, in Vancouver. Well, yeah. Well, well, that, see, that's exactly it. That's the takeaway. I guess some people humanize by making animal noises. It's strange. So who thinks that's a good idea? I mean, this is made for satire. So you've got to see, we're going to post it up on the site. We're putting it up on the website. Samnation.com. See it there. So the video will be up. And it's just really funny. So, the media. Immediately there's a firestorm. And not just the media, but of course, you know, you've got the establishment types and many serious politicians. And these serious folks all begin to tell us, what do they tell us? They tell us all the stuff that, you know, we're all laughing at the video, having a great time. And these people in the know, these learned fellows are all telling us, oh, this is bad. This is bad. Is this any way? Is this any way to what does this do for our image, for our foreign relations? And of course, I think it's brilliant that it gets a reaction out of the Kremlin, because they proceed to crap a small reddish brick. What do they say? They say, well, it's an open secret for us that demonizing Russia and whatever is linked to Russia is unfortunately a mandatory hallmark of America's election campaign. We always sincerely regret this and wish the U.S. electoral process was conducted without such references to our country. Well, screw you guys, okay? I mean, if every one of our elections was decided the way yours is, you know, we'd have no need for campaigning, number one. Number two, you never demonize us? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is Putin we're talking about. The things he said about Obama, I mean, whether you agree with the man or not, this guy has demonized America. This is the ultimate wag the dog. Every time something bad's going on in Russia, he uses America as his foil. Totally. They've got the Kremlin-funded TV station, the number one Putin ally TV station, might as well be the equivalent of Radio Free Hanoi. I mean, it's nuts. So, and you know, this is after you know, Trump and Putin had some nice things to say about each other, and of course this kind of stuff is funny, but. But it's a great little campaign video. It looks homemade. It's probably been seen more times than Bush's best campaign commercial, which I don't know which one that would have been. But I mean, how many, I still can't get through my mind, how many Bush commercials we saw on Fox News and MSNBC and all these channels? How many did we see? I don't remember any of them. That's a good point. But how many did we see? They were on all the time. And that was back in February. That was back in February. This was back in February when what? When we still had months before we vote June 7th in California, don't we? Insane. Now, all the other news, we have a lot of people who might be running for president. We know Paul Ryan, you know, he might not be running. Kasich clearly has some illusions that the presidency is within his reach. But fear not, Michelle Obama has delivered some stunning news. I will not run for president. No, nope, not going to do it, Obama said. Now, she's speaking at South by Southwest, where I believe Obama chose to go instead of visiting Nancy Reagan's funeral. And she declared that she has no intention of going back to politics. Now, here's a question. Who cares? I mean, was anybody asking for her to run? Was there some draft Michelle campaign going on that I didn't catch? It's nuts. So we won't be seeing any of her. Yeah, I There's been talk about this, right, Robbie, off, on again, off again. But it's not, it's not, it's so House of Cards. Where are you with that? Where are you with House of Cards? Done! Oh, it's a good show. Of course it's a good show. And it was a good, this was a good season. This was, I'm not quite finished with it, and I haven't, with all the serious real life drama going on, I haven't had time to delve into it. But I want you to rest assured that I will get to House of Cards. Yeah, you just wonder, I'm gonna give everyone a chance to catch up to it. Missy, where are you with it? No? Oh, pshaw. So it's one of these, I see, mirroring what's going on. So there's an election going on in House of Cards. I don't think I give anything away with that. There's an election. And there is intrigue. There is a primary contest, a primary challenge to an incumbent president. There is a contested convention. Interesting. So, and there's some talk about a first lady being political. All right, we're going to talk about it a little bit next week. Should we? I think so. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Do I need to redo anything?